You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
On the line, coming to us from the Big Smoke, Tamaki Makaurau, that is correct. We have M coming to have a chat about their new album, Move, which has been out for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. Good morning to you, M. How are we doing, man?
I am going well. How are you going?
It's going real chill. I think I had my microphone on the whole time we were talking on Zoom, which is hilarious. I need to have a second opinion on that. But yeah, we're chilling down here. It's my first day back in like 4 days. So yeah, it's feeling good. It's going grand, man. It's going good.
Amazing.
You were recently, I saw this on Instagram, you were recently on holiday where you encountered like at least 15 to 17 dogs.
Yep.
And I want to know, where were you? Were you visiting dog-prone areas, or is this just all coincidence?
I was in the Cook Islands.
Whoa.
I was in Rarotonga, and I also went over to Aitutaki for a day. But they take real well care of their dogs around there. And the dogs are all really friendly, and they come and hang out, and they swim in the water with you and ask you for bits of coconut. And it was great.
Coconut-eating dogs?
Coconut-eating dogs.
Whoa! Yeah. That's crazy.
If I could come back as an animal, it would be as a dog on one of those islands, because they have a great time.
I was watching a video on YouTube recently, and like apex predators like lions and such, sometimes they eat grass. We think of these everything in black and white terms, but they're never always that. You know, obviously their main nutritional source is meat, but you know, there's a little bit of vegetarianism in there.
Just want to chomp on some grass.
It's a very, very odd trend. Now, I also noticed that you're a big fan of film photography. You've been capturing moments in that medium for a fair amount of time. And I saw a really good pic on Instagram that you did. It was a great pic of two snarling dogs in black and white. Sort of reminded me of a couple album covers. When did you start doing film photography?
I'm actually pretty new to it, to be honest. But I, maybe like a year or so ago, actually. Like, I'm real chill about it, too. It was just that, like, I was doing these events and I wasn't getting enough funding to get, like, a photographer in. And I was like, well, as opposed to just trying to get people to take pictures on their phones, why don't I, like, get a camera and then we can, like, make it a bit more interesting. And then I've been slowly getting into it a little bit more and more.
Well, speaking of photography, the new record Move is really a snapshot of of you at this point in time, with the cover being a picture of you running, looking on in blurry hurriedness at the audience. And you've said that that's meant to reflect that you're heading to a different destination. Now that the dust has settled, you're probably working on something new. What are you thinking that destination might look like?
Ooh. Well, I think it was kind of at the time where I was going through my Saturn return, if you know what that is.
I'll Google that right now.
Well, it's like the first time in your life, it's very, you know, horoscopy, but it's the first time in your life that Saturn is at the same place as it was when you were born. And there's kind of like chat that it is a time where you almost go through this like second emotional puberty where you kind of shed a bunch of your stuff from your early 20s, a bunch of stuff from your earlier in life, and you kind of become a little bit more at peace with yourself. But it's also a time of reckoning, and you go through a lot of self-reflection and figuring out who you are and that kind of thing. And so I think I wrote that, I kind of made the record right at the end of that process where I was like, wow, I really feel like I've come into myself recently. And my friends had also sort of said that. And so I think that was the kind of destination that I was going to. Or perhaps beyond that, it's like now that I feel more settled in myself, I can really build the life that I'm wanting and that I've kind of been working towards and dreaming of.
And Saturn won't have any part of that in the future, do you reckon?
No. Who knows? It's not up to me to say.
Yeah, who is to say? I'm sorry, you go.
No, you go.
I was just saying, it's funny with astrology, yeah, because I feel like sometimes people just feel things and then we want to ascribe a meaning to them, but sometimes you just go through the motions, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It was this interesting thing where I'd kind of felt that anyway, and then I heard the phrase and was like, that checks out.
You resonate with it, which is the important
thing. Totally, which is nice.
Yeah, totally. This thing, the album, it's very grounded in a sort of indie, folk, dream pop, ethereal direction. But I noticed on the tracks Go and Lucky Star that you use one of the same drum sounds that were made popular through the disco hit Rock Your Baby by George McRae and Le'Veon Rose by Grace Jones. Now, I can't identify the actual, I don't know what the actual drum sound is called, but it's from an electric drum machine. It kind of sounds very woody. It's very crisp. It goes, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Talking about?
So there was two ways that I kind of did the drum machines on this record. One was that I went on Splice, because drum machines, you can just like sample the bits. Mm-hmm. So Splice is like a really good place to actually find drum machine loops, because people have done it and they've recorded it really well. So I did that, and then I had meant to replace a bunch of them with a drum machine from Roundhead, but when I did like the swap out, I just didn't like it as much and was like, well, I guess that's staying in for just the drum machine part. But I also had a drum machine at the studio I was using at the time. And so when I did all of my writing sessions, we'd be like, let's just chuck this drum machine on and see what happens. And so, yeah, it wasn't like any like specific references that I had for that. It was more just thinking I wanted a slightly different groove to what I haven't really used before, and perhaps what you couldn't really get from a drummer. And the album does feature a lot of like drum machine looped in with real live drums.
Yeah. I just thought it was cool to have that sort of experimentation. You know, I love that sound because I'm a big disco head. And so that was like, oh, this is awesome, because you're just playing around.
Yeah, and I think some of the reference for the album as well was for it to be like a little bit more dancey, like have a bit more groove in there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, those like disco and for me like house as well references were like a really great way to kind of get a bit of that feeling in there that felt natural for my music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It certainly does. And speaking of nature, I'm just endless segues today.
I love it.
There's a bit of sun imagery on the album, whether that's on the wistful track Crush or in the closer where you look to the sun above, or the track Ties That Bind You to the Dying Sun. You even said that people should listen to this thing while sitting in the sun.
Yeah.
What do you find so symbolic or enormously cool about the sun? What do you think about that?
In terms of, so that line, it was like, I did a lot of collaboration, so I'd give people a bit of a brief of what we were writing to. And one of the things was the song should sound good while sitting in the sun. And that was just because I started writing the album this time of year. And in Auckland, at least, it's been really beautiful and sunny. And so I would finish the demo, and then the next morning I'd drink my coffee outside and it would feel good. So I'd be like, let's make all the songs do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of the other sun lines, like I look to the sun above, it's more just that like I'm not like religious, and so like I don't really necessarily have like a higher being to look to, but I find that I do like look to the sky a lot. And so I think it just kind of came from that, like if you're like feeling for a higher power, you want to like be more in touch with the universe, like you kind of are looking up to the sun, or like looking up to the world.
Mm-hmm. For sure, man. I resonate completely. If I, you know, was born 3,000 years ago, I'd be worshipping the sun. I'd worship a little bit. Are you familiar with the band, the group Average Rap Band?
I know the name.
It's one of Tom Scott's projects, and on the song El Sol, it has a really beautiful spoken word poetry passage about the sun being this glorious sphere of cancer and light. It's really, really great. It's good stuff.
Okay, I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. You've got pretty strong music production chops. I mean, for a living, you're an audio engineer. And I think that comes through the best on the track Crush. We've got these sort of twangy guitars counterbalancing these strings. Then you've got these like 80s keys and some very subtle vocal samples that are repeating in the background. It made my ears very happy, and it makes me wonder, are you a perfectionist when it comes to tinkering on your own stuff?
I think what I've learned just from talking about this record is that, like, being an audio engineer, you have to get really good at process. So you have to know when to do stuff, when to not do stuff, when are you finished, when are you not finished. And I think because of that, like, I am a perfectionist, but I'm not, like, too much of one. Like, I know when a song just is what it is. And sometimes that means it's, like, a little bit imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's its identity. And then sometimes it means really honing in on it. For Crush, for example, that vocal, a lot of it is the demo vocal that I did right after we wrote it. And it was because I really liked the feel of my voice at that time. And so why go back and record it again and then have to mix it for ages to get it to feel the same? Mm. But there were a couple of lines that I did have to go in way later and just like fix up or change the melody of, and then had to like match them. Mm. And so that is when I have to be a perfectionist, because I have to get it cohesive.
So it's kind of made your art a little bit more linear to produce.
Yeah.
Having that process, knowledge of process.
Yeah, I think so. And it means I can be a lot more efficient, because I'm not going down these like little exploratory avenues that I don't need to be going down. It's still really fun to do that, but I'm not. I'm doing that because I don't know what to do next.
Fair enough, fair enough. You kick off the track Boat Sounds, saying yes. One for the money, two for the shows. Now, I've heard that interpolated countlessly, countless times in hip-hop, but it's also been done by Taylor Swift, Lana Del Rey, Aerosmith. And do you know where that one for the money, two for the shows, do you know where that comes from?
Well, it was a... We got it as like an idiom, because then the start of like the next verse actually finishes it. Mm. Well, finishes part of it. Mm. I don't. Does it come from a movie?
It's actually an old children's rhyme.
Yeah.
One for the money, two for the show, three to make ready, and four to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It is fun, and it was kind of in reference to. Basically saying like you're all playing like this game that's happening, I'm just here having a fun time. But everyone says that this is what's happening. I don't know how that's happening.
I definitely pick up that maybe a little bit of confusion on this record as being a bit of a theme. I mean, the track The Middle is about trying to find balance. Balance when it comes to thinking about a world on boil, about being in the middle of your brain and your heart, about thinking blissfully ignorant, or being very inward-looking and self-effacing. So you look far and wide trying to find the right time, but years go by trying to find the right time to be all right. Have you found that time to be all right yet?
That was really important. That song, it's kind of one of the first songs I've written about my mental health that I wasn't like really scared to share. Mm-hmm. But it basically is sometimes when you're going through lots of ups and downs, letting yourself say, I had a good day today, can be really hard, because you feel like you're not worthy of it, or you haven't worked hard enough, or there's so many bad things going on in the world. Why am I allowed to have a good day?
Yeah.
And so that song was really kind of me expressing that. And I have. I make sure that I let myself have that reflection and have that gratitude, essentially, is what that is, to say, instead of just waiting around to be like, one day I'll be happy and then it'll be fine. But like, I could actually be happy today. Maybe today was a good day.
Mm-hmm. And that's such an important thing to remind yourself. I need to do that a bit more, to be honest, because it's so easy to be down yourself. You've got access to all these tools where you can just compare yourself to anyone and everything. And what's that famous quote? Comparison is the theft of joy. That's my massive vice.
Yeah. Or you have a great day and then you scroll on your phone and then you see some bad news.
See that there's, pretty endless stream of doom on this little goddamn glass box. Hey, it's cooked.
You have to be so intentional. You really do.
Yeah, you certainly do. My one of my favorite tracks on this thing is the last track, The Orchard, which is about three different flats and your experience in each of them. And you know, it seems like they've impacted you quite a lot. The first flat that you talk about was when you lived in, that was a bit dreary. It was during COVID. The second was a flat where you lived in, where your flatmate supported you through a breakup. And the third one was where you lived in with the song's co-writer, and you had a great garden, you had fruit trees and much more. Do you think that people underestimate the impact that where they live impacts their lives quite a lot?
Yeah. And I think people try to sort of push how you work and what you need into like what works for others and what other people need. And so like realizing that, I realized in that first flat during COVID, like we didn't have a backyard with grass, and like all I wanted throughout all of COVID was to like get a coffee, like I did for this record, get a coffee and sit in the sun. And I couldn't, like I just couldn't do it. But everybody else seemed fine. And so I think when you're flatting and all of that stuff, it is really important to go, what is like something that would actually make my life so much better, and make sure that I have that in that flat, whether that's having friends or having a bigger bedroom or, I don't know, having a garden.
Living in a dry house.
Living in a dry area, not having mold.
Yeah.
But we can't all choose that sometimes.
Sometimes we can't. Sometimes you have to bust out the bleach and mold the walls. I've actually had to do that before. It's not fun.
No.
It's gross. last time we talked in June, I think it was, or May. No, it was May, I think. You said that you hadn't played live yet. Have you done so since? And can we expect to see a tour for this new record?
I have played live since.
Nice.
I know. I did like one performance of one song, mm-hmm. Which was a great way to like ease me in to the concept. And then my vinyl for this record came out a few weeks ago. And I did like a little listening party with friends and family, and I played a bunch of songs for that. Mm-hmm. And that felt really good. I don't know if we'll specifically have a tour for this record. But it is something that I'm actively working towards. So I'd say within the next year, we will have something.
Cool, man.
But once again, it's got to feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Which it is at the moment.
That's good. And if it doesn't, you could write about that feeling and have that be the
exactly.
next album.
Whole album about how I haven't played live yet.
I mean, you can make that very interesting. I want to thank you for your time and coming on the program, Em. I really appreciate it, as per usual. Do you have any final words of wisdom or lovely last words to leave our lovely listeners with?
I think I would quite like it if you went and listened to the record. I know that everyone comes on here and says that. But I like making music, and I think a lot of people have responded to it really well. You've had some lovely input to have. And, yeah, go have a listen, and feel free to just message me on Instagram and be like, hey, that song was great. Or not. That's also fine.
You take aboard the negative reception as well?
I'll take aboard negative criticism.
All right, folks, if you have negative criticism, be sure to spam Em's Instagram and ruin her day. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate your time. Hopefully, Tamaki takes good care of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, that was Em. We're talking to her about her new record, Move, which is out wherever you find your music. We're going to be playing the track The Orchard, which is the last song from the new record. You are indeed listening to the one. You can find that album, Move by Em, wherever you find your music. We'll have some headlines at 10:40. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the one. Here's Em.
Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.